Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Poppy, Pastor Morendi, Vicar Short. We're looking at the readings for June 24, which just so happens to be the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. We'll be looking at those readings this coming Sunday here at Good Shepherd. We've looked at our introit, which is a really, really unique introit, and the bulk of the introit is also in our gospel reading. And so, Vicar, our gospel reading is Luke 1, 57 to 80. I just love it in Luke where you get these really high numbers. Luke 1, 57 to 80. Would you share those, please?
Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abram, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel.
Okay, we have so much here. Yes. With regard to this, I don't want to spend a lot of time on. I want to fix the bulk of our focus on the prophecy of Zechariah, but I think we need to spend a little bit of time on the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. Pastor, can you kind of summarize briefly what's the big deal about the birth, the nativity of John the Baptist, and how is his miraculous birth a foreshadow or a preview of an even greater miraculous birth?
Well, in St. Luke's Gospel, John, the way he does things is miraculous and amazing, and God is working with him, and then Jesus comes along and takes everything up to the next level. So John is miraculously conceived, but not as miraculous as the conception of Jesus. So Jesus is conceived of a virgin through simply the word of God, no male participation at all. John, it is a miraculous birth because Elizabeth is barren and old, and it is miraculous that her womb was open, but it's still a natural conception. So it is a miracle, but then the miracle of Jesus takes things up another level. And so he preaches to Jesus even before he has a voice to say, in many different ways, just in the very fact of his conception. Then when he leaps in the womb, he's pointing to Jesus from the very moment he is conceived.
Okay, so we have this naming thing right here in the beginning of the text. What's going on? Elizabeth wants to name him, and the relatives don't want mom to be the final say with regard to the name. Why can't Zechariah speak? What's happening here?
Yeah, well, Zechariah, when he received the news from the angel that he was to have a child, he didn't believe. He didn't believe. He refused to believe. He did not have faith. and the angel struck him and took his voice away. And so Zechariah, being able to speak, he speaks when he demonstrates, when he shows his faith, when he actually shows that, hey, he finally gets it. And the name, when he says his name is John, it's not like, well, Zechariah, he couldn't talk, so he's been spending his entire time looking at baby name books. No, he was given that name by the angel. And so when he says his name is John, that is a declaration, hey, I believe.
And immediately after his speech comes back, he doesn't run to the doctor to see what the medical problem was. Mm-hmm. He doesn't start asking about the weather or about his favorite sports team. Immediately after he is able to speak, filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts speaking. And in our text, this begins in Luke 1, is that 68? I believe that's right. Luke 1:68, and these are the beginning words of the introit that we looked at. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A horn of salvation.
Yeah.
What kind of picture or imagery is that about, Pastor?
Yeah, well, the horn in the Old Testament is a symbol, and the New Testament as well. The Book of Revelation has some horns as well. This isn't the horn that you make music with. This is the horn that is on an animal, and a horn is therefore a symbol of power and of strength. And so the horn of salvation isn't like a trumpet. The horn of salvation is sharp. And it's powerful, and it's going to defeat enemies.
Okay. So lest you think this is like the ram's horn that you see advertised on CBN late at night, we're talking about something completely different.
And certainly the Bible does talk about horn, those kind of horns, but here it is the horn of power. Yep.
And for us in the house of his servant David, how is that significant that we have this house of David imagery that is part of his prophecy?
Well, yeah, the house of David was the very house that now Zechariah is not part of the house of David. He's part of the house of Levi, so he's not saying this about his son. This is actually an indication that Zechariah gets it, that his son is preparing for someone else who's going to come out of the house of David, and the messianic line is passed down to David. So it's going to be a descendant of David, and both Matthew and Luke are very conscious to make sure and emphasize to us that the Christ, that Jesus, is born of the house of David.
So this first half of his prophecy, this is praising God and extolling the work of the Messiah.
Yes.
We're not talking about John the Baptist
nope,
here.
Not
We're
yet.
Not talking about the baby yet. That's
nope.
still coming. He continues. He goes on. Let's see here. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. This is continuing in the line of the Old Testament prophets. And as the Old Testament prophets prophesied, the primary words, the primary message from the prophets was that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. How is this so often missed when people look at the Old Testament prophets, especially the minor prophets, today?
Well, everyone thinks the prophets are just fire and brimstone, and they are. they definitely are. They preach a lot of law, but some of the most beautiful gospel that you could ever imagine is found in the prophets. And especially that's one of my favorite things to do, is to journey through the minor prophets and find these little nuggets of beautiful gospel spread throughout. Definitely the prophets usually are fire and brimstone. And that's usually what we think of them as preaching a message of repentance. And that's true. They do that. But the prophets also are proclaiming a salvation to come. And we find everything, just about everything you need to know about the Messiah, you find in the prophets.
And if you are reading the prophets, either the major prophets, the long ones, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or the Book of the 12, the minor prophets, and the primary thing you get out of them is a type of liberation theology, overthrow the dictator, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, you're missing it. You're missing it completely. Zechariah goes on with his song, and he says, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Yep. Vicar, a little bit about this holy covenant that Zechariah is talking about here.
Well, if we keep going, we see the oath that he swore to our father, Abraham. Well, why does he mention Abraham and not like Moses? We need to remember the covenant that God made with Abraham, not the Old Testament covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai with Moses, what he made to Abraham, that he would have offspring and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. This is the covenant of promise. This is the covenant, if we remember even back, all the way back in with Abraham, when God made this promise to Abraham in an Old Testament, when you cut a covenant, you would cut animals, and then you would walk through them. Both parties would walk through. But when the God made his covenant with Abraham, the animals were cut, Abraham was put to sleep, and God walked through. This is
the unilateral covenant
of promise talked about here. That's how we can, if we get confused about God coming down and doing earthly, no, this is not the covenant he made with Moses. This is the covenant he made with Abraham.
So, Pastor, Zechariah is basically extolling God to remember his covenant.
Yep.
Does God forget? Is God, you know, so ancient of days that he has some early stages of dementia? What's the purpose of the remember talk?
He's got a lot on his mind. It's not because God's going to forget, but it's just a cry of help, a cry for God to remember and cling to his promises. God wants us to ask him to do this, not because he's going to forget about it, but because he wants us to remember, and we remember by calling on him to remember.
So it's kind of almost backwards in that respect. Yeah. We ask God to remember, but we're the ones with the memory problem. And then being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. So the goal of this deliverance then, or maybe I should say the end result of this deliverance, is that in holiness we serve God without fear. Is that something that happens in this life? Is this something that happens in heaven when we die? Is this one of those prophetic, I forget the name of, how do you describe that?
Prophetic perspective.
Yeah. Prophetic perspective. What is this describing here?
Well, the Old Testament has a way, and like this is the New Testament, but this is, and St. Paul too has a way. He speaks of believers as if they're already perfect, because that's what we are in Christ. That's what we are in Christ. Now, because we're sinners, are we going to always walk in holiness? Well, of course not. But that is who we are. That is who we are. That is what we have become in Jesus Christ.
And when we're delivered from our enemies, the enemies that attack us constantly are sin, death, and the devil. Mm-hmm. And as we are delivered from sin, death, and the devil, we are set free. We are declared holy by the blood of Jesus, the Messiah. And now we can, without fear, live the way God would have us live. Not perfectly on this side of heaven. But God desires that for us, too. Well, we worked all the way through this segment, all the way up to the teaser that I gave before. And when we come back, I promise our hearers that we are going to be talking about the ministry of John the Baptist and how he is a prophet of the Most High. We need to take a short break. Don't change that dial. This is Proclaiming the One. We'll be right back.